That was beautiful. 5 years ago, 2016, a young Hyoman Kim showed up on the steps of Faith Baptist Church side by side with Robbie Udman. You know, that's quite a contrast, Stephen, right? But no, Robbie and Hyoman had known each other, I guess, since they were little kids. They had grown up together. Robbie's dad is a pastor in Seoul, South Korea, and Hyoman and his family were members of that church, and so Robbie and Hyoman grew up together, and Hyoman showed up for Bible college in 2016 and showed up at Faith Baptist Church, it's easy to love Hyoman. It's easy to get to know Hyoman and love Hyoman, and we have a lot to talk about. We talk about Robbie a lot. We talk about IBC a lot. But Hyoman was here for 1 year, and then he went back to Korea, and he did his military obligation in Korea for 18 months.
No,
21 months, and then came back to continue and finish his Bible college education, and he'll tell you a little bit more about that and where he's being led at this point in time. But it's been our honor and privilege to be with Stephen and Hyoman all summer long. I tease because I'm a guy, and we tease one another like that. But really, Stephen and Hyoman, it's been awesome to work with you guys this summer. And certainly, we've given you things that we didn't want to do. But also along the way, and in your time with us, and your time with Preacher, and Sunday afternoons with Preacher, and all the times, you've picked up on ministry philosophy. You've picked up on Pastor Monty's heart. And we just want to invest in you, and we want to have this friendship and these relationships that last forever. And so, Hyoman, you're special to us, man. Come up and preach.
Well, hi, church. How are you? So it's weird. Usually I stand in front of people. When I give public speaking, I get nervous quite easily. I don't know why. I'm not nervous tonight. It's just weird, and I don't know why. It was absolutely a blessing that I served Faith Baptist Church and the people of Faith Baptist Church this summer. I really want to say thank you to Steve and Susie Smith. You guys are just incredibly generous and nice Christian people. Thank you for letting us stay there during the summer, and thank you for all your hospitality and the food. Maybe I ate too much in your house, which is true. I eat a lot, and people, they get surprised when I eat a lot, and I enjoy that too. I also want to say thank you to Stephen Allen. It'd be a little bit boring without If I did my internship by myself, it'd be a little bit boring. Stephen, he's a good friend of mine. And just say thank you. He taught me a lot. I enjoyed time with you. So, Junior Church is here tonight, and you are just stuck with me about 30 minutes. So be ready for that. It's a good time to practice your patience. I'm not really entertaining speaker, you gotta know that. And my voice is kind of low, and it can be sleepy too, but it's your fault if you get to sleep. And turn to Malachi 3. Turn to Malachi 3. So during this summer, a word just came up in my mind, and that word was serving. During this summer, that word just came up in my mind. While I was serving this church, just that word just was just in my head during the summer. Thankfully, I had incredible opportunities to serve Faith Baptist Church. I can tell I served this church, but in the same time, I was also served by you guys, and I'm really thankful about that. And a word serving is sounds maybe humble. Godly, pure, and it is humble. It is humble word. But if I can be honest with you tonight, serving is not always easy, right? Serving God, serving church is not always pretty. Serving God, serving church is not always enjoyable. So let's go to the passage for tonight, for this evening. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet I say, what have you spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they work wickedness, are set up, yea, that they tempt God, are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord spake often, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall he return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Some water. So as I just told you, serving is not always pretty. Serving is not always fun. It's not always enjoyable. And at some point, Christians face that mannerism about serving. Christians face that weariness about serving. And we just get tired because we do not see fruits immediately. And we feel serving is unworthy when no one appreciates your works. No one appreciates our works. We get unmotivated so easily when there isn't any growth or progress. We get burnt out so easily when God does not answer prayer and we are not just patient enough to wait. We get wearied when we just do same stuff every day and we think it's kind of boring, and we get bored too easily and we face that mannerism. In this passage, tonight's passage in Malachi, so Israelites, they were released from Babylonian captivity. And then they came back and they rebuilt the temple. And they just kept serving the Lord. And also, they were waiting for coming of Messiah. They were serving and they were waiting for coming of Messiah. But, you know, Jesus, he didn't came for a long time. He didn't come for a long time. And they would get tired of serving. They would get tired of doing same stuff. And just like this passage, we face that same situation. And they lost their motivation to serve God, and they were tired of waiting and same type of serving. And verse 14 says, it is vain to serve God. They finally reached that kind of conclusion. Hey, it's not worthy. It's not fun anymore. It's not entertaining. How long should I wait? It is vain to serve God. There is no fruit. There is no growth. There is no progress. It is just vain to serve God. They thought there is no benefit when they served God so hard. They thought it is not worthy to serve God properly. But church, I'm telling you, serving God, serving church, serving Him is absolutely worth it. I say again, serving God is worth it. This is the message for people who think serving is not worth it. This is message for people who are wearied and tired of serving. Father, I pray with confidence. I come to you with confidence. So, because this is your word. I don't have confidence about myself. I just trust your word tonight. So speak to us, preach to us. Just make our hearts humble and teachable so that we can accept and apply your word for our life. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So let me tell you, why serving God is worth it. Let me tell you why serving God is worth it. First, number one, serving God is worth it because He is real. Serving God is worth it because He is real. Again, verse 14 says, it is vain to serve God. The word vain in the Bible is used for meaning of emptiness or worthless or fruitless or unreal. For example, King Solomon wrote this book of Ecclesiastes. He said, life without God is vanity. Life without God is vain. So word vanity in the Bible is used for something priceless, but church, I'm telling you this evening, God has never been vain God to us. God has never been empty God to us. God has never been unreal God to us. He is real. He's real, church. He's real. So some people claim themselves, I'm a realist. Even some Christians, they claim themselves, hey, I'm a realist, which is, I think, fair, fine argument. But you got to think about what really realist means. What is realist? Let me just ask you this question. If you consider yourself, if you claim yourself as a realist, let me just ask you, isn't God real to you also? Isn't He real? Isn't He real? Yes, this moment we live in is real. This evening, this pulpit, this auditorium that I'm preaching right now is real. It's physically real. We can see, we can touch, and we can hear. We can feel it. It is real. But however, we are just so focused with reality that we are living in, and then we forget, we miss coming eternal better reality. We are just focused on visible reality. We just focus on what we can see, and we are missing invisible reality. I'm not saying that you should deny the reality you live in. I love my life. I love my reality. And I love this church, and I love my life. I'm saying that we must not misunderstand and mistreat invisible reality. And invisible does not mean unreal. So all the heroes in the Bible, for example, they were more focused on invisible reality. They lived and served visible reality for invisible reality. When Noah, he built that huge ark, right? That massive ark. When Noah started to build that ark, people thought he's crazy. He has no sense. He has no sense about reality. Why is he building that? It's not even raining. People called him he's crazy. People thought he's crazy. He's doing just something stupid. But actually, they were wrong. Noah was the right one. Noah knew what was the real deal. Noah, he chased invisible reality. Another example, Moses served and endured for 80 years in the wilderness in Hebrews 11:27 as seeing him who is invisible. They served invisible God even when their visible reality weren't that good. They overcome the hard, tough, and rough reality with serving God. They overcome that reality by serving God, by serving real God. Noah did not stop building the ark when people called him crazy. Moses didn't stop leading and serving Israelites even they were so impatient and disobedient and they were rebellious. And he didn't stop serving and leading Israelites in humanistic perspective as just human being. When I think about these kind of Bible characters, who has struggled, but who overcame that hard reality. When I think about them, if I can be honest with you, they had enough reason to quit, actually. They have reasonable reason to quit the ministry. They had actually kind of good excuse not to serve God, if I consider them as just human. But they didn't stop. They didn't stop serving God. They kept serving God because they knew and trusted better reality. God was just real to them, and He is real, and they were also real to God. When they faced that heaviness of life, they could overcome by depending and serving another true reality. How about Apostle Paul? He's my favorite character in the entire Bible besides Jesus. And he had also super hard reality. He persecuted Jew before he became Christian. And many church, many disciples, they had that some kind of doubt. Their attitude was kind of skeptical at first time. But he was not overwhelmed by that reality that he faced when he didn't stop preaching Jesus Christ. Even there were so many churches that gave him hard time. For example, like Church of Corinthians, they were just full of mess, and they gave him hard time, and he didn't stop serving them. He didn't stop preaching Jesus Christ even when he had that hard time. So let me just ask you again, is God real to you tonight? I cannot make you to recognize God as real. Yes, He's real, but I cannot make you to realize that God is so real. Experiencing real relationship with God, with Him, is between you and God. Draw nigh to Him, and He will draw nigh to you. As much as you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you also. As much as you personally recognize how real He is, you will see how worthy serving Him is. Yes, I am saying expanding your reality. Expanding your reality. For example, some people just serve God more. Some people, they just serve church more. Are they serving because they have extra time? Are they just serving because they are just dumb? Are they just serving because they are not busy enough? No, they have their job, and they sacrifice their time to serve God. And one of the reasons that they serve God, because God is so real to them. They know that relationship between them and Him. God is just real to them. When Jesus told His disciples to follow Him, disciples, they also faced that reality. They had to choose between overcoming reality with following Jesus or getting overwhelmed by that reality that they faced. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I hope you really don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying forsake or abandon, leave everything and just to be a minister or something like that. I'm not saying like that. I'm saying that finding balance in your life, finding balance in your real life with real God, finding balance in your reality to serve God. We are not serving something fantasy. We are not serving something fairy tale. We are not serving something empty. We are not serving something vain. We are serving real God. We are serving worthy God, church. And it is worth it to serve God. Serving God is absolutely worth it. During this summer, You know what was the real deal during this internship? Man, cleaning geese poop, that was the real deal. Like, seriously. I didn't know that that thing is that rock solid. It was so hard to clean. But that was worth it because I made church cleaner. And they came again and they made it dirty again. And I got to clean again. So serving God is worth it because not only He's real, but also, this is number two. Number one was serving God is worth it because He's real. Serving God is worth it because not only He's real, but also He will remember you. He will remember you. Real God will remember you. Let me tell you, churches, just let me tell you some word of comfort and word of encouragement tonight. He will remember you. If you're saved tonight, if you really know Him as your Savior, when you go to heaven, heaven is real. I'm telling you, it is real. It's invisible. Right now, God is invisible physically, but He's real. And that is another invisible reality that we must follow and chase. And God will remember you. Let's be honest, we have heard so many preachings, right? We come to church every week. If you're saved when you're young, you might heard so many preachings from junior church, teen service, or summer camp, whatever. You have heard preaching from Sunday service, evening service, and even Wednesday service. And if you went to Christian school, I'm pretty sure you were taught and you heard that numerous preachings from teachers and good preachers, which is good. And even we even read and study and memorize Bible personally. But our problem is we just forget too easily, right? We just forget too easily. Just imagine that right after you heard Pastor Monty's sermon. He's a really good preacher, and I don't have to explain about that. And it is actually surprising that we forget his sermon almost immediately when we leave church, when we go home. To me, it is actually, I forget easily. I really don't pay attention. Yesterday, I was invited to dinner with Robbie. We went to Brother Hessler's house. And I didn't know that. I was following him, and I didn't know that. I knew that some truck was chasing me, but I didn't know that that truck was cop. Robbie asked me, "Hey, Hyomin, did you know that the truck was chasing you? Did you know that?" "Yeah." "And did you know that that was cop?" "No." And he was really surprised about that. I don't really pay attention. I forget easily. And we forget just so easily. But church, I'm telling you, even though we forget his promises, even though we forget his words, he never forget his people. He never forget. He never fail his people. He never forsake his people. Just like Exodus 34:6, it shows God's characters. And that's why he's called merciful and gracious and long-suffering. And if I can praise him, if I can call his character, and it's also from Bible, I want to call that he's faithful. I want to call that faithfulness. And great is thy faithfulness, right? He never forget us. He never forsake us. He never fail us. Even we forget and fail and even sometimes betrayed all the time. Betrayed sometimes. About a month ago, it was July 4th, right? We had tons of food, and I was surprised how people were generous and willing to give food. I think people looked quite confused because they didn't know what to choose. What kind of food do I have to eat? It was kind of happy, to me, it was kind of happy, happy hesitation, happy confusion, because I love food. I can eat a lot. And I was, but they brought tons of food. You brought tons of food. But I was more surprised how people were willing to clean and organize leftover food and stuff. Where's Pastor Wall? Is he here? Oh, you're right there. I'm not wearing my contacts, but so let me just ask you. Did you ask them? Did you tell them to clean and organize things?
No.
They just started, right? They started first. Am I right? Yeah, I was really surprised about that. I was also thankful about the servant's heart we have, servant spirit we have. But actually, it doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter how much amazed I was. Just faithful and just God will remember your serving, just like that. Faithful God will remember your work. He will remember that July 4th. No, He will remember your... He will remember your voice when you sing in choir. He will remember that. He will remember your driving hands and running food for the bus ministry. He will remember your kind heart when you go to the nursery, and He will remember that you're cooking when you cook cook food for the people, and He will remember your physical and hard work for the junior church and teen service, and He will also remember your cleaning hands and organizing hands and just running food for the people. He will remember that, church, I'm telling you. And He will also remember your behind-the-scenes sacrifices and all the stuff that I cannot mention and that I cannot see. He sees everything, and He will remember your serving, church. He will remember your serving. He will remember you. I mean, not of course, if your family are saved, He remembers them too. But I'm talking about in personal sense. Between you and God, He will remember you, like you. He will talk to you, and you will see Him face to face someday. He will remember you. The real God will remember you. So, church, keep serving. Keep serving church, keep serving Him, keep serving people. Whatever form is, just serve it, just start it. Please don't get bothered and don't get intimidated about being involved in the ministry. I really don't have special talent. You can tell. I really don't have really like super like special talent. I wish I can sing like Riley Tuttle. I'm jealous. I'm jealous. I'm jealous when guys can sing like with good voice. I'm not as fluent as like Pastor Monty. I'm not as eloquent like Pastor Scotty. I'm not that good with people like Pastor Wall. I wish I had that. But I had nothing, and I decided to serve God without anything. But I'm telling you, God, He leads me by serving. You know, Robbie knows that, and Pastor Wall, you remember my English when I first got here, right? It was terrible, I'm telling you. I really gotta say thank you to all of you being patient and gracious with my English, with my poor English. And thanks for trying to pronounce my name too. Some people get it in one time and some people never get it. It's okay. I can just get over it. But it's not that hard. Just try harder, okay? So stop worrying about how good you are. It doesn't matter. You're never going to realize if you don't start it. You're never going to realize it. You're serving big, mighty, and worthy God, not yourself. You're not serving yourself. You're serving God. You're serving people. So don't worry about yourself. Just jump in. Just start to serve God. I'm not just talking about only church. You can start with someone or something right next to you. We can serve each other, right? You can serve your family, you can serve your friends, and also you can serve your workplace, school, community. You can start, you can serve everyone, always. According to 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 14, Apostle Paul said this, "You are stacking treasures in heaven when you serve. You're not wasting time. You are molding that. You're molding that something golden. You're stacking treasure in the heaven when you serve. You're molding that Christ likeness when you serve." Jesus was servant. He served. Like, it is mystery to me. Like, I just get amazed and overwhelmed when I think about God. He came to here with human body and he served. It is mystery to me. I cannot say any word. I'm kind of speechless when I think about that. But my point is, Jesus was servant too. Church, I'm telling you, your serving is worth it. Your serving is worth it. 1 Corinthians 15:58, Apostle Paul wrote his letter to this troublemaking church, which is Corinthians church. And it has 16 chapters, but last chapter is kind of saying goodbye to people. So this verse is one of his final commands to Corinthians church. It goes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord." For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You're not serving something vain. You're serving God. And church, I'm telling you, that is worth it. It is worth it to serve God. It is worth it to serve God. Father, I thank you that you're being just good God to us. And I thank you for this summer. It was absolutely a blessing. And thank you for the opportunity to serve you. And thank you for the opportunity to serve this church and these people. We get more united when we serve each other. Father, thank you for being worthy God. You're worthy to be served. You're worthy to be praised. Father, please give us strength and give us motivation to serve you more and grow in you. In your Son's name I pray. Amen.